Extension 720 here on WGN. John Hansen in for Justin Kaufman here for the next 3 hours. And thank you so much for listening here. And we're going to have a really good show in store. And I wanted to say, before she gets our first guest on the line, a very happy hello to Vivian Leneau. Vivian, how you doing here today?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm excited because it's the first time we've got a chance to work together.
Know.
You've been here at the station for a couple months now. And
yeah.
I'm filling in here and there all over the place. So it's great to work with you, Producer Viv.
Yes, it's great to be here.
And how do we say it in Greek the proper way?
Paraskevi.
Paraskevi.
And you said it perfectly.
I said it perfectly, but it took me 10 tries to get your last name right.
Which means Friday.
Friday, yes.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Happy wishings to that. All right, you'll go ahead and get Heather Sharon, our first guest out. And Andrea Darlis,
hey,
how are you doing this
John,
evening?
We're reunited again. Last time we were on the show, you were a guest on the reporter show.
Yeah, I was sitting across from where I was now, and you were in here, which is a great show. And we'll continue, of course, right, Andrea? I know you've had some news, and you're doing some cool things coming up with the U of I. But
for sure, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, don't jump right on it. I actually was just down at the U of I visiting some of the former students, just chatting through and visited WPGU, our former haunts, and then the College of Media. Had a great conversation with Robin Kaler, and I left there.
Robin is going to be my new boss.
Oh, well, she's a great boss to have. She is the Chancellor of Public Affairs down there.
And John, she was my first boss and my first real job after PGU.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's come full circle. It's crazy.
What a great university to work for, and a cool gig coming up. We got a great show for the next 3 hours. It is jam-packed. We're going to kind of talk in this first hour about the changing of the guards in Chicago. It feels appropriate today. It almost feels like we're continuing to change the guard from winter to spring ever so slowly as we're dragging the season on. But we're going to be talking, of course, about Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot and the changes that'll be going on. But some big news today outside of the aldermanic wards, where we officially called some elections, including the race where Deb Mell, who replaced her father years ago, officially loses her race. She's going to challenge again, and might have another recount. Heather Sharon's going to back us up and tell us all about that. And then a little bit later, we're going to have Howard Tolman on. It's a familiar name here in Chicago, CEO of 1871, works over at IATT right now, and has always been a figure here in Chicago as a businessman. And I want to get his perspective based on conversations I've had with him in the past about what he's loved about what Mayor Emanuel has done and whether Lori Lightfoot will be as good for business as Mayor Emanuel has been, at least according to Howard Tolman. That'll be coming up a little bit later on. We're going to talk about the Avengers and the spoiler alerts out there. And then a little bit later, I have got the craziest historical fact that is going to blow your mind. I cannot wrap my head around it. If you like history, even if you don't, even if you like anything about generations past, it is going to, I won't tease it anymore because I'm going to give it away, but that'll be just a little bit later on. But as promised, we're jumping on with Heather Sharon. Heather Sharon of the DailyLine.net. Heather, it's so good to talk with you.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good. You're no stranger to this program as well. Me and Justin have your name on Rolodex pretty quickly, ready to go.
You guys are very kind.
Yeah, how have the last couple of weeks been? Have you recovered a little bit from some crazy election cycle that we had here in Chicago?
It has been crazy, and I think what made it so crazy was right after Lori Lightfoot got elected, we went straight into the huge debate over the Lincoln Yards TIF and the development and sort of Rahm Emanuel running as hard as he can for as long as he can until he leaves office. So there's been no rest for the wicked, I will tell you that.
Yeah, we had that brief, odd 2-day delay in the vote, but then it went through as expected. And where are we at with that now? Because, you know, a lot of people say, oh, done deal, but some neighborhood organizations are saying, pump the brakes a little bit.
So it is a done deal. However, today, two groups, the Grassroots Collaborative and Illinois Raise Your Hand, went to court to block the subsidy for Lincoln Yards. So it is uncharted legal territory, so it's not clear, I think, to anybody if that will be a successful suit. But it certainly has the possibility of sort of slowing it down if, in fact, a judge rules that it can move forward. The other thing that we'll be watching closely is after Mayor Lightfoot takes office on May 20th, she has promised to sort of, you know, break out the red pencils and make sure that the letter and the spirit of the agreement is being lived up to by developer Sterling Bay. So we'll be watching to see if she takes steps to either, you know, change the the approvals or to sort of make sure, you know, to make sure that they're being lived up to. So it'll be a continuing story for sure.
Heather, I know you guys are on top of everything there, and I like to think that I am, but I've got to admit something to you is when we were wrapping up and talking about all the Lincoln Yard stuff, we started talking about the 78, and I almost had to fake it a little bit. This development project, did it sneak under the radar? Did Lincoln Yards just take up all the print in the paper? I when I looked it up, I'm like, this is a big project, too. This is huge.
Right. It's actually $7 billion, a full $1 billion bigger than Lincoln Yards. It's 10,000 new homes, and Lincoln Yards is a paltry 6,000 units.
Right.
So the issue is that Lincoln Yards is in an area of the city that's much more densely populated. So you've got the beloved Hideout Bar right next to where Lincoln Yards will be built. So it's just a more populated area, whereas the 78 is going to be built on land between the South Loop and Chinatown, right along the river, in a part of the city that people don't really even know it's there because it's an old rail yard that hasn't been used for decades.
If you go up to the top of Willis and you look south, you're like, what is that giant patch of green there? Or brown,
exactly,
green with a few railroad tracks. So they're going to build, they call it the 78 because they're going to propose it as, right now we have 77 distinct neighborhoods officially, and they want to make this the 78th.
That's right. That's their whole marketing plan. And what's interesting is that there's supposed to be a new sort of U of I campus on this land, Discovery Partners Institute, which is supposed to serve a sort of like a business incubator to keep sort of high-tech firms to come and stay in Illinois rather than, you know, fleeing for Silicon Valley and, you know, taking their famous inventions elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a real priority of former Governor Bruce Rauner and Mayor Rahm Emanuel. So it'll be interesting to see whether that moves forward to fruition now that we are in the post-Rauner and soon to be in the post-Emanuel era.
All
Can
right.
I just pop in with that, too, you guys? Hey, Heather, it's Andrea. And Heather, former guest on The Reporters as well, so she's just a rock star. But this, what is so amazing about the 78, I think, is this partnership between the University of Illinois and the University of Chicago and Northwestern as well. It's unprecedented that three of the top institutions in the state partner like this to, as Heather said, keep these projects in Illinois and hopefully create cures for diseases and advance modern medicine in a way that we've never seen it before right here in the South Loop.
Yeah, and it relies on $500 million in state funds that actually was included in Rauner's last budget but never spent because, of course, you know, they haven't started building anything. And what's interesting is that J.B. Pritzker has proposed changing how that money gets spent. Essentially, the nonprofit partners with this deal will have to raise $500 million before the state will release its matching funds. And there's some concern that that could slow progress down because I don't know about you, but $500 million is a lot of money to go out and raise. So we'll be keeping a very close eye on how that all turns out.
Especially when everybody that you can think of in every municipality in the area is in the red for the most part, especially the key players involved in this. Heather, I wanted to ask about Deb Mell and the latest out of the 33rd Ward. This is not only a historic loss if it does get finalized as such and the dust settles on it, in that the Mells have been there for a very long time. It's also interesting who the new candidate or who the new alderman is going to be, a Democratic Socialist and not the lone one on the city council.
No, that's right. So this is a little piece of Chicago history fading into the history books if this result holds. It's important to note that Deb Mell is losing by only 13 votes. So put a pin in this conversation, come back to it, listen to it the next time anybody says, oh, my vote's not going to count, I'm not going to bother to go to the polling place. 13 votes is about as close as it can get. And if it holds, it means that Rosana Rodriguez-Sanchez will be the next alderman of the 33rd Ward, which includes parts of Albany Park and the Northwest Side. And she will be one of six members of the city council to be and he's backed or aligned with the Democratic Socialists of America. And that is a huge increase because right now there's only one member of the city council who is also a member of DSA, and that's 35th Ward Alderman Carlos Ramirez Rosa.
All right, so let's put the brakes on this. Okay, so we got the official tally of 13. Was that just the official counting after all the mail-in ballots were counted or absentee ballots? And now is Deb Mel asking for an official recount, or has there already been some form of recount?
Well, it gets a little complicated from here on out. So all of the votes have been counted at this point. Mail ballots, provisional ballots, ballots by mail, ballots from the space station, all of the counting is done. What happens tomorrow is that the Chicago Board of Elections Commissioners will meet and they will proclaim the results and they will become official at that point. And then Deb Mel has said she will ask what's technically called a discovery recount. So her and her team can go and count up to 25% of all of the votes that were cast on April 2nd. And then she'll be able to see, well, were there mistakes? You know, does that change the total? What am I looking at here? And at that point, her team can decide whether to go ahead and ask a judge to order a full recount. So
strange.
We're sort of two steps away from getting to a recount. Unlike in other states, like people are very familiar with Florida, there's no automatic recount margin trigger in Chicago or Illinois election laws.
That's strange.
We're
not talking about that many votes. I mean, it's an aldermanic race. I'm trying to find the totals on the whim here, but
it's like 11,000.
It's 11,000.
Like, yeah.
Why, if you're going to count a quarter, just count them all, but I guess it's just the procedures in which a recount, you say there's no automatic one, so that's just the way
right.
They got to do it, I guess.
Right. That's just how it's worked. And would be the first discovery recount since 2012.
Is that a race you covered, right?
It is. No, I covered it a little bit.
The 45th?
It was actually a state rep
race. Okay.
Where Will Guzzardi was trying to unseat Maria Barrios and fell a little bit short, about 175 votes short. So he asked for a discovery recount. Now, what's interesting is that he came back 2 years later and beat Maria Barrios. So, sometimes you got to try a couple of times before you make your way into city politics.
So I mentioned the John Arena one, the 45th. How many votes was that one separating those two?
So in 2011, he won office by 29 votes.
Oh, so this is even slimmer than that.
Yeah, and it's not in. And there's also another really close race in the 46th Ward. Alderman James Kappelman today declared victory over scientist Marianne Lalonde with a margin of 25 votes.
Jeez.
So it's also possible that Marianne Lalonde will ask for a discovery recount in that race, although she hasn't said anything publicly. And then there's the 5th Ward race, again, where Alderman Leslie Harrison is leading activist Will Calloway by about 176 votes. Will Calloway has said he will ask for a discovery recount and then plans to pursue a full recount. So the election is over, and yet it continues.
Yes, exactly.
The story that keeps on giving.
Yeah, and then yes. And then it'll be a news cycle coming on. Heather, I'm going to have you hold on right there. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then I want to break down everything that has to do with Lori Lightfoot coming into office next month here on Extension 720 on WGN. Okay, hello, friends. John Hansen in for Justin Kaufman here on Extension 720. So happy you decided to join part of your Wednesday night here with us, tackling a bunch of different topics here. And the first one we're kind of covering is like this changing landscape in Chicago politics. And we're joined by Heather Sharone on the Daily Line. Heather, you know, maybe it's, you know, we overreact to trends all the time. That's a quintessential thing that we do, whether it's on media or in the newspapers and columns and such. But man, we mentioned that one Democratic Socialist aligned alderman now potentially up to six. There's definitely this trend, and it started well before President Trump, but has continued through this very anti-incumbent flavor. Is this something that you see, and I know it's hard to prognosticate into a crystal ball or anything, is this part of a growing wave of change, or is this something, you know, these things kind of yo-yo back and forth over time?
Well, this was definitely a change election. You saw that with the contest between Lori Lightfoot and Tony Preckwinkle really being decided on who was best equipped to bring progressive change to the city council and city hall. And there was no doubt that a number of aldermen capitalized on that. There appears to be 12 new aldermen. It's not a record, but more of those new aldermen are millennials and are Latino than ever before. And that will really change the makeup of the city council after the new term starts next month.
It's interesting because it's a great early on when you're a freshman and you come in with a lot of promises. I think activists make great candidates. They don't always make great legislators because they've made a lot of promises along the way. And I think that you look at some aldermen, you know, being a one-term alderman is probably, I mean, the norm is that you get these aldermen that become part of the quote-unquote machine. They get to know their constituents and they can stay no matter whether they're indicted or not. But there's a lot of pressure on these freshman aldermen, especially in these changing neighborhoods.
Absolutely. You saw even Lori Lightfoot, her victory speech on election night made really sweeping promises about the change she promised to bring City Hall. And the alderman has campaigned as well, you know, on no little promises. In fact, you saw six aldermen during the Lincoln Yards debate, which we were talking about a little bit early, protesting and blocking traffic outside City Hall while that debate was going on inside the chambers. And if that's not an illustration of the change that's about to sweep over City Hall, I think that's it. The question is, can those aldermen take that sort of energy and passion and bring it into City Hall and use it to get things done? Because you can't do anything as a single alderman. You've got to find 25 others to vote with you, and that is much easier said than done, especially in a system that is as confusing and circuitous and rife with challenges as Chicago's city government is.
Yeah, and being alderman, I think 90% of the job and what ends up getting you reelected is your constituency services. It's the non-sexy part of politics, but it's what you got to be really good at.
Absolutely. And these aldermen, for many of the new ones, this is their first elected a position in elected office or political office. So they're very quickly not only going to figure out how to build coalitions around the issues that matter to them, but also they're going to be responsible for delivering services to a ward of about 50,000 people. And that's everything from, hey, I need a new garbage can because the squirrels chewed through my old garbage can.
Right.
And or the streetlight is out and I need it replaced. And also there is a house on my block that I think drug dealers have moved into. And, hey, can you help? And that's a wide range of skills that you've got to be able to either handle yourself or hire a staff with a very limited budget to deal with. And in the past, newly elected aldermen haven't been novices. They've come up through a ward organization or they've come up through the Democratic Party, so they've known sort of how things work. But for example, if Rosanna Rodriguez Sanchez does defeat Deb Mel, she's going to come into office not have been being a part of that 33rd ward Democratic organization, and is going to come in really fresh for good or for ill in terms of both getting legislation passed, but also delivering ward services.
And you imagine the stalwarts in the neighborhood, the movers and shakers aligned with Deb Mel. I don't want to speak blankly across the whole board, but anyone that was part of it is supporter of Deb Mel may not join in to help out. Of course, if you know how to scratch everyone's back, it helps out. Heather, we got to get going, but I just want to leave you the final word here. We didn't talk too much about Mayor Lightfoot. We've talked about her in the past. The biggest change you anticipate in how City Hall is going to run, or the biggest, I guess, challenge on day one facing her as she gets started?
Well, I think she's got to figure out whether she's really going to move to strip aldermen of their power to have the final say on projects in their ward. She's promised that she will make changes to that, but I don't doubt that she has run into a bit of a brick wall as she starts to make her plans. So that's what I am breathlessly anticipating as she gets ready to take office.
Heather Cerrone, thank you so much for stopping on by here. Go enjoy the night, okay?
I sure will. Thanks for having me, John.
And Heather, of course, the editor at thedailyline.net. Quick break, then news on Extension 720.